Gracious Lord, we do ask that you would open our eyes, open our ears to see and to hear your word and what you would have for us this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. It's far too early for Christmas stuff, but there was snow on the ground and we were making a lefse. And so it's just an unwritten rule. You have to listen to Christmas music. And so we were listening to Christmas music in our house this weekend, and I was thinking Christmas things, and so here's a Christmas illustration to begin the sermon today. You know the story of A Christmas Carol, even if you don't know the name of it. It's the Charles Dickens book and the movie that's been made in several different versions. Ebenezer Scrooge, you know that name. He's the wealthy miser whose only goal is to accumulate as much wealth as possible. And as he does so, he tramples on the poor. He charges unfair interest rates. He forecloses on property whenever he can. And he generally treats people really poorly. But in the book, his time is running out as Christmas approaches. And so he's visited by the ghost of an old business partner, Jacob Marley, who comes and tells Scrooge that unless he repents, unless he changes his ways, he's going to be walking for all of eternity with chains strapped around him. And Scrooge doesn't listen very well, so Jacob Marley sends three ghosts to visit Scrooge that night. The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. And these ghosts warn Ebenezer to change his ways. They show him his abuses against the poor, against his neighbors, and they warn him of impending judgment. And the ghosts do for Ebenezer what the Old Testament prophets do for us. They work exactly like the prophets do. The prophets come, like Amos, and they warn people of their sin and of their excesses, of their idolatry, and tell people, if you do not change, God has judgment for you. And in Amos, in the background of Amos, the people of God, Israel, is very much like Ebenezer Scrooge. They're terribly prosperous at the time that Amos is prophesying to them. It's a time of immense wealth, and they grow more and more wealthy. It's a time of national pride, where their boundaries are secure. Their king has had a long reign. He reigns for 41 years, and the country is just doing well. But the problem is that they've also got a lot of sins that need accounting for. Much of their wealth is built on the backs of the poor. And not only that, but it's built by injustices. The court system that they have set up is full of bribery. It's full of falseness that's in there. There's also idolatry all over the place. The people, yeah, they worship God, but they also worship Baal. Yeah, they worship God, but they also worship Ashtaroth and every other god under the sun. So they're very prosperous, but they have a lot of sin to them. And unlike Scrooge, though, like I said, they are a religious people, these people of God. They regularly are bringing their worship to the temple. They're faithfully bringing offerings. They're faithfully bringing sacrifices. They're singing the songs of praise that they have always, always done. But God won't have any of it. Hear again what the Lord says about the worship of His own people. I, the Lord, hate and despise your religious celebrations and your times of worship. It's hard to imagine God using more direct, forceful language. I won't accept your offerings or animal sacrifices, not even your very best, no more of your noisy songs. I won't listen when you play your harps. God's not having any of it. And it's because every bit of their lives are false. First of all, it's false. Their worship is false because, as I said, they're sharing their worship of God, the one true God, with every other god under the sun. In the temples that they have constructed in Israel, which they shouldn't have constructed anyway, they're worshiping God with an idol of Baal right next to them. False worship all over the place. It's also false because their feeble dedication to God never leaves the temple doors. There's 168 hours in a week. They're giving their 1 hour to the Lord their God. Maybe it's 2 hours, maybe it's three. But every other hour is purely their own. Their own for whatever vice, whatever thing that they want to do. It's like they come to their temple just to make sure that they're keeping God at bay. They're bringing their worship, they're bringing their sacrifice, they're bringing their offerings just to make sure that God is appeased so that they can go out and do whatever they have planned for the rest of the week, to get on with their lives, to continue living the sinful lives they have. God's word that he gives to the prophets for his people in the Old Testament is a word for the church today. And it's a hard word to hear. And it's, frankly, it's a word I don't like preaching. But this word is that if we come to church on a Sunday morning, and if what we're hoping for is that we're balancing the scales against God, that we're doing just enough to keep him happy, to appease him, to stave off some kind of judgment against the deeds of the previous week or the deeds we have planned for the coming week, if you have no desire as you come in to take God's word out with you, to fight temptation, to love your neighbor, to live as a disciple of Jesus as we are called to for the other 167 hours of the week, then what Amos tells us is we have to know this. God doesn't want your worship. He's not going to listen to your words of praise, your songs of devotion, your offerings. No matter how big that check is, means squat to the Lord. The prophets tell us what God wants from us. Amos tells us. Micah tells us. Isaiah tells us. Joel tells us. David tells us in Psalm 51. They all tell us what God wants, and what God wants from you and I is a heart that is a heart that seeks after God, that cares for the things that God cares for. And what does God care for? He cares that justice is done. It's why ministries like Project 31-8 are so important, because that's what God cares about. He cares that justice is done. He cares that the needy are taken care of with the blessings that we have been blessed with. We have what we have for a reason, to care for those who need it. The Lord cares that we live in a right relationship with our neighbors, that we treat each and every person as a person made in the image of God, even when that image that they're bearing is terribly marred by sin and isn't very lovable. This is what God desires of his people and always has, from the time of Amos till now. So how do we make our hearts into a heart that God desires, that desires the thing that God desires? We don't. The Lord does for us. I've said this before, I'll say it again. When we come to church, we don't come to church in order to give God something. It's not the primary reason why we're here. We come here to receive what the Lord has for us. We come as receivers. We come confessing our sin. In fact, think of that. The one thing we do come to give God is the worst thing about us. We come to confess what we are, that we are sinners, that our hearts are awful, that we're selfish, that we're egotistical. We come and we confess these things to God in order to receive from Him. We come confessing, Lord, I'm a terrible disciple. I am awful at imitating Jesus. I'm feeble at loving those I should love. And what does the Lord give us? He gives us forgiveness. He gives us His grace. He gives us His mercy. He pours these things out to us through Jesus Christ, the only sacrifice that could appease God. Another prophet, the prophet Ezekiel, says this: I will give you a new heart. This is God's promise to those who come to Him in repentance, who come bringing the only thing we can bring, which is our confession. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put into you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. The heart God wants in us is the heart that He's going to create in us. It's the one who depends on His mercy, on His grace, who brings repentance and brings confession and receives all that the Lord has for us. Our God is gracious. Come to Him and receive from Him forgiveness. Receive from Him His Spirit, that we might hear His word now and live it. Bring it outside the doors and live it 168 hours a week. Amen.